Now, for this 25th Sunday in Ordinary Time, we're going to look now at the first reading and the psalm. The theme for this week is in, of course, as it always is in the Gospel. The Lectio Continua, which is foundational to the Gospel, to the liturgy, is the Gospel. And then some text from the Old Testament is selected to thread, show light on it. And then the middle reading, which is most often from Paul, follows its own rhythm. So the first and second. But sometimes the middle one fits well within. It always fits well because it's the Word of God, but it's not always as easy to blend. This is the first one. It's from Isaiah 55, verses 6 to 9. I'm going to look at it quickly and then go back over it. It says, "Seek Adonai while he may be found. Call on him while he is karov, near. Let the evil man, the scoundrel, abandon his ways, his way, and the man of twisted thought and activity give off his plans and return to the Lord." Now, return to the Lord is the whole concept, as I think I mentioned before, of conversion in the Bible. Conversion does mean to turn around, right? The word for repent is shuv, which means to return, come back. So the word for repentance is tshuvah, just a T, C, H, and S, H, and so forth. So when it says here, you see, let him turn, let him return, you see, it's this notion. Now, this is a being launched, you see. Let the wicked man abandon his way, and the man of evil his plans, and return to Adonai. And he will receive mercy as he turns to the Lord, because the Lord is generous, large-hearted, big, yarbe l'soloach, in forgiving. That's a remarkable thing to say about God, isn't it? We hear it so much, we forget that God is so merciful. That's the whole basis of our confidence. Oh, I look at my sins and I say, oh my gosh, the only thing bigger than my sins is God's mercy. And that's our confidence. That's our confidence. And so, as Isaiah is calling this person back, you see, all these people back, he's talking about this. He is generous, l'soloach, to forgive. Why? Now, this is the part of this reading that prepares us for the Gospel. I'll even give you a hint what the Gospel is so you can think about it. The Gospel is about the men who sent out and were hired at different times of the day to work in the vineyard, and they all get paid the same. So the Lord says here, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. I'm different." And so I would advise you to learn how I think and learn how I act, because you are supposed to be imitating me, as Paul tells us, like dear children. So we have to learn this. So why aren't God's thoughts like our thoughts? Because we're small-minded, vindictive, and of course that means we're afraid of God because we suppose he's small-minded and vindictive. So we're going to get it. And so instead of being won over by mercy and winning other people over by mercy, because it's high and now it's finished, as the Shemayim are above the earth, so high are my ways above your ways and my thoughts above your thoughts. The Lord in this beautiful passage is saying, I'm different than you are. I forgive. And when I forgive, it's over. You're never going to hear from me again about this. And so that's why he says this. But he starts by saying, that should give you confidence. So come back to me. And now that you're back, learn. Now, I want to point out a few things about this passage. This is Isaiah 55. Remember how Isaiah is broken up? You can get saved without knowing this, but it helps in this work. So there's Isaiah 1 up to 39. Then there's Isaiah 40 up to 55. Hear it right where we are now. And then there's Isaiah 56 to 66. But as we're going to notice right now, as we work with this text a bit, the editors have blended them together. There are three sections, and they are written at different times, and close reading will show us that. But the editors knew that. They made one message by the way they worked. All right, first we're going to look at the text. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Okay. Because my thoughts are not like your thoughts. Okay. Now, in Isaiah 65, we have 65 and 66, which wrap up the whole of Isaiah, as it were. There we read, before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will listen to them. And then, the very next line, which doesn't seem to fit, is the wolf and the lamb shall graze alike, and the lion shall eat hay like the ox. Where's he getting that from? Well, you know, right? That's back in Isaiah 11. So this editor is editing this Isaiah 65, the end of the whole gospel, you see, by recalling this text and where it says, you see, that promises assured to David, the benefits assured to David, will be remembered. It's closer reading than we have time to do now, but it pays off. And a good commentary on Isaiah would help you. In other words, the wolf and the lion graze alike, that's a quote. This is Isaiah 65, but it's a quote from Isaiah 11. You see what he's doing? In Isaiah 11, I have to talk fast, but in Isaiah 11, it's the fruit of this, you know, a shoot shall come up from the stump of Jesse, and the Spirit will rest on him, and all that goes through that text, right? And so then the last part is this part here, and none shall hurt or destroy on my holy mountain. You see, he's alluding to that here, and will as he goes on, you see, because he's going to link that. I have to stop a bit. You see, the Davidic line was ended with the exile of the southern kingdom. So there was no more Davidic king. So what happened to God's promise? Just read Psalm 89. There'll always be a king on the throne. There'll always be a... What happened, Lord? And did you break your promise? No, my word is good. And that's what this editor is doing. He's saying, you see, the promise made to the original Davidic king, you see, concerning the effects of the righteous son of David. You see? And he joins that with what he's saying here, you see, just a little bit before we start, you see? Come to me heedfully, listen, and you may have life. I will renew with you the everlasting covenant, the benefits assured to David. Now, the benefits assured to David, including the messianic promise, have now been linked to the community of the faithful. But that's not all. You see, then, coming back again, and I'm going to quote now from Brevard Childs, a very fine commentator on Isaiah. The role of the Davidic covenant in chapter 55 is a strong indication that already within 2nd Isaiah, a link between the imagery of the servant and the messianic Davidic rule has been formed. In other words, talking to the people, okay, everybody, but binding that to the Davidic promise. So there will be a Davidic king who will be the one who implements all this. Now, this is a good lesson for us. He promised. That's right, he did. He promised. Somewhere around 900, 1000 BC. Then, however we date this Isaiah 55, hundreds of years later, you see, or in Isaiah 11, which is about 200, 300 years later, he's saying, you see, that it's going to be this, the blessings accruing to David are going to belong to the messianic people. And then the editor says, that's true, but there's still going to be a Davidic king to head up the messianic people. I hope that's not too complicated. But I'm trying to show you how these books were put together by a whole series of very holy people who worked with them, knew them by heart, and edited them. And finally, as in the case of Isaiah and the other prophets, made one book. So the king promised in Isaiah 11, and 7 as well, but Isaiah 11, you see, becomes later on the promise made to David. And then that's brought back to unify it so that the promise made to David is transferred, so it's in the messianic people. But the messianic people themselves are headed up by a Messiah, a son of David. And that's why throughout our Lord's life, they knew that. People would call on him, Son of David, have pity on me, Son of David. They knew, those who had faith, that now the promise made to David in 2 Samuel 7:14, repeated in Psalm 89 and other Psalms, combined when they thought about the messianic people, blended together in the suffering servant of Isaiah 52, 53, finally results in one person, Jesus Christ, who is the messianic king. He is the anointed servant. He gathers the people together, and because he's the suffering servant, he reconciles us all to the Father. It takes a lot of editing, paying attention to the editing to get all that. But I thought once I would show you how intimately these books are bound up. So if you started reading Isaiah every day for the next 5 years, every day, you'd pick that up yourself.